back here to another episode of the Gold Coast Frontline Podcast. Actually, are we at 50 or is this 49? This is either 49 or episode 50, one of the two. Mr. Clark, Mr. Rugby League column with all the statistical measurements of the world over here, you should actually know this. I know this is the intro. Actually, you know what? While he's going to check this out, I will obviously introduce the podcast. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast, where we talk all things Gold Coast Titans, whether that be the men's, whether that be the women's. We've obviously got the Tweeted Seagulls and the Ipswich Jets and the feeder clubs. You know, we've got absolutely everything from the community, what's going on around the club, the players, you know, the this, the that. We talk a little, we dabble in a bit of everything. You know, a little bit of dabble here, a little bit of dabble there. And it really is an emotional podcast because if we lose, it's a downer. If we win, woo, we're firing up. That's exactly what we're doing right now because obviously, although we're coming off the bye, which we did win, by the way, guys, we also come off the back of that 66-6 win over the Warriors. So we're flying right now, baby. We are absolutely flying. But my name is Blaze. I'm from BK Sport on YouTube, and I'm always joined by the big fella, very diligent man who's always on time, Clarkie's Rugby League, Colin May. How are we feeling on this beautiful bye week after the bye week?
Oh, mate, thank you so much for that warm introduction. It's always great to, you know, have the opportunity to join yourself. Wouldn't do it with anyone else. Episode 49, mate. Episode 49. So we've still got one more to go, mate. But I'm fired up. It's whether it's episode 1, 549, I'm fired up for the Titans. I love this club and we'll jump into it. But a bit of housekeeping first, guys. Please make sure you join the Titans Frontline groups on Facebook and follow them on Instagram. Now, we're not just doing that to shamelessly promote. It's actually where we do the ticket giveaways. So if you do want to sit in the front line with us, that is the place where you need to be. To be in the running for that. Like and sub if you're on YouTube. Follow and five stars if you're on a podcast player. It helps us grow the podcast, which helps us grow the front line, which helps us grow the mighty Gold Coast Titans players. Let's jump straight into our Titans news. Corey Thompson, back as the football operations and integration officer at our club. Love big Corey with his time in the Titans jersey, mate. Back at the club. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, no, it's good. I've actually known about this for a little bit now. He's kind of taken over, I think he's taken over the Aaron Boothie role. Aaron Booth had to move on. I think he went with the RLPA, if I'm not mistaken, with a role with them, which he was very, very passionate about and is very passionate about. So it's a big loss, obviously, losing the big fella Boothie. But obviously, Corsa comes in, Corey Thompson, who we love. And it's always good to have ex-players around the club because it shows that, one, they care, but also, two, they're still around the community. And three, it just keeps that involvement, right? There's a really good thing that the Sydney Roosters do to kind of keep players around the club for the future is that once a player plays for the club, they will always have a job within the team. And I know that we're not at that level and we don't have that kind of stature just yet, but I do believe that this is such a really, really good moving thing to do for past players to keep them involved, because we haven't actually, over time, we haven't really been a club that has been known for having those past players actually being actively involved. And there has been a bit of criticism here and there about that. So, you know, this is a really good sign to, really good sign to see that the players are sticking around.
100%. And when you think of Corey Thompson and his career with our club, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? I know what comes to mind, but I want to see if it comes to yours first as well.
No.
It did. It came to your mind. It came to your mind. I know it. Keenan Palacio, he calls for Dave Fifita to return.
I just want to stop you for a second here. How dare you bring that up? How dare you bring that up? I just want to clarify this. If people out there listening right now, watching high on YouTube, I want to clarify what he's referring to here, just in case you didn't get it. He's talking about the 2021 game Titans Roosters, where Corey Thompson obviously lit up Patrick Herbert for not passing the ball, validly so, justifiably so, by the way. But with that being said, how dare you not only turn up to this podcast late, Dane, but then bring up the Roosters 2021 quarterfinal, whatever it was. You are a disgrace.
Mate, with respect to Corey, he could have scored four tries in a game for our club, and I'd still remember that blow up because I think we were all Corey Thompson at that moment. Unfortunately for Paddy Herbert at the time, we were all Corey Thompson. We were with him in that moment, whether it's justified or not.
You're an idiot. Move on. This is your fault. Move on.
Big Keenan Palacio, he's calling for Dave to return to the Queensland Maroons side. No brainer for me. He must be there and the decider. What say you?
Mate, he should have been there in not only the decider, but game one and game two. This has been a recurring theme. We've known this for a long time. It should have been a long time. No more politics, Billy. It's just a fact. Dave deserves to be in the back row. It's as simple as that. So I'm glad I'm not glad that it's had to come around this way where they've lost game two, which has really emphasized the need for the Dave X factor there, but because obviously I'm a Queensland fan. But with that being said, I am glad that it's not just Titans fans who are complaining. It's everyone that's complaining. And Billy has been forced to come out and say, oh, well, he is in the thought process. Shouldn't be in the thought process. Should be one of the first pick based on the stats that he gives and the quality he brings.
Exactly. And you look at the Blues, when they lost game one, they realized they needed to score points in game two. They bring in someone like Latrell Mitchell who can score points. What does Dave do better than any back rower in this competition? He scores points. What do the Blues do on their bench? They brought in Amoli Oluokuata, who brings that X factor on the edge if they require. So Dave has to be there, in my opinion. The only thing I don't like about this was Billy Slater's comments before game one. He said that last year Dave had a lot of habits in his game that aren't there anymore, and his game's not quite where it needs to be. And that simply wasn't true at the time. It's not true now. And so to recall him purely because you were blown out of the water in game two, even as a staunch Maroons fan, I think that Billy Slater might have to swallow his ego and admit that those comments about Dave were wrong. Alrighty, guys, our next home game is against the Eels next Saturday at 5:30 p.m. And the club is doing a US themed round. So there'll be like an NFL combine that fans can do. There'll be a mechanical bull. There'll be a hot dog eating contest, t-shirt cannon, prize wheel, heaps of other cool giveaways. The reason we want to mention this here is not because we're in any way affiliated with the club. We just see the effort that our membership and game day team are putting in for us, and particularly in our home games. And so if you're local or able, please get down to CBus and support the club, because it's fun, mate. They're trying new things. They're bringing back old things, and they're making game day more than just 80 minutes of football. And I think
just
that's awesome.
Just a reminder, we are top three for game day atmosphere. We are top three across the competition. And this is a stat that was provided to us by our CEO of our club. We are in the top three for the atmosphere on game day and the event in general. So, yeah, really, really good stuff there. And we had this last year. I think we had the LA Rams come down, and also Philadelphia Eagles were outside as well, so you could win some prizes and you could put on helmets, like the official NFL helmets and whatnot. We had the US Embassy walk out to give the ball out, and that was a really cool day. I can't remember what game that was, but it was a really cool day. So, you know, you got to get down. We just whooped the team 60-66 at home, and we've beaten the Cowboys in a thrill this year. I know that we have struggled at home for pretty much ever, but we are starting to put some performances together and at home, and you don't want to miss out on a game like we just witnessed last week. So get on down there, and we're playing a team that are struggling.
100%. If you do want to get down and join the front line, as we said at the start of the show, the Instagram, Facebook group, they're the places where you can connect with us and organize tickets or win them with our giveaways. We've got two bits of news left, and both are equally important. You know, let's go. What were you calling him the other day? Brim Daddy Millionaire Daddy or something Brimdo. Like that?
Daddy Brimdo, baby.
So on behalf of the Gold Coast Titans frontline community, we wanted to say congratulations to AJ Brimson and his partner, all of his family. He's given birth to his first son. He's become a dad and will affectionately forever now be known as...
Daddy Brimdog.
Alrighty, guys, final bit of news. Carter Gorton joined us for his first game today, first training session today, rather. He has been released early from rugby union, which is awesome for us. You and I have spoke on this podcast and said we really hope we can get him this year to begin that transition. So my main question for you is, which feeder club should we assign him to and why?
That's actually a really good question. You know, like, obviously, again, Ipswich aren't actually really ours. They are more of a... they are more of a placement club, realistically, where we can put players in, because they are also attached with the Roosters as a feeder club specifically, whilst the Tweeted Seagulls are our feeder club specifically. So I would always be more inclined to be looking towards the Tweedhead Seagulls there, although they do have, obviously, Tommy Weaver in the seven. Now, we don't know, realistically, where Carter Gordon's actually going to go. Like, and not in regards to which feeder club, I would assume that they put him in Tweed, but it will depend on where he moves to as well. Like, if he's moving to, like, you know, that area, like, if he's moving to closer to Ipswich, he'll go to the Jets. If he moves closer to Tweed, then he'll go there, right? If he's more on the Gold Coast, he'll go Tweed. But we don't know if he's going to be a seven. We don't know if he's going to be a six. We don't know if he's going to be a center. And some people are even throwing around a lock, even though I do think our lock is pretty locked up right now. No pun intended. So, it's a really interesting... We're just a conundrum club right now. We are just the ultimate club of conundrums, because we've this is such a good signing. It's such a great signing and an exciting signing from Wallabies and Melbourne Rebels, and, you know, really interesting to see how it goes. But also, this does provide more of an issue for the JC, AJ, and Keanu scenario, because it involves potentially the six and the seven, where, you know, these guys are all having to be kind of put into, right? So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how it goes. I personally think with Carter Gordon that he doesn't play NRL action this year. He's also not in our top 30, so I don't even know if that can happen. But actually, we might have a spare spot based on the fact that we lost Aaron Shuppy. I don't think we actually brought anyone up, did we?
I think Arama Howe might have got promoted from his development deal. I'm seeing him on the Titans website now, but I didn't see anything official about it.
His name's been on the extended squad for the since probably about the Broncos game, I think it was. Because that was when Tony Francis debuted. I think that he is definitely going. It's amazing that he's coming in this year because he can transition into the NRL, into rugby league for like 8 months rather than 3-4 months in like November, December. The boys are usually off like November, but you know, back in November, December, January, February. Now he can start right now in July. So, love it. Not sure how much he's going to play this year, but what position would you put him in?
I think 5'8". I think let's stick with his main skill set and what would make the easiest transition to rugby league. And I think that would be 5'8". And, of course, you would need to play alongside a dominant half. Reports suggest Kieran Foran re-signed for 2025. So that works well for us. I can see you smiling. So perhaps those reports are confirmed. But look, then afterwards, you know, we've got options from there. Does Carter Gordon go 7 and Tanner Boyd go 6? Is it the other way around? Does JC, Kinney, or Brimo go 6 and Gordon 7? Does Brimson go halfback? Like there's a fair few options to play. But I think this year, if he does play rugby league, I would like to see him playing 5'8 for Tweed alongside Tommy Weaver, if I had my pick, in all honesty. That's how I'd go.
I agree. And I think that with Tweed as well, they've got Will Brimson in the halves as well and Tommy Stedman and whatnot. I guess you could go to Ipswich where probably if you want to partner him up with Tommy, that would be great. Like if you want to give him the best possible outcome, it is there. Like I feel for Tommy Stedman and like the likes of Will Brimson and whatnot. But I do think that him being alongside Tommy Weaver, who he'd be coming in with he's had some NRL experience in Tom Weaver, comparatively to Kyle Foxwell, who would be over at the Ipswich Jets, who we partner with. And Kyle's great, but Tom Weaver would be the one I'd want to go with. So, yeah, if I was to put him in, I'd put him in 6 at Tweed. But it's just, it's frustrating when you kind of, you know, care for the actual people behind it as well, and they're missing out on spots. But in the same sense, it's the game. It's the business. They understand this. We understand this. And it has to happen if Carter Gordon's going to get the best out of him.
It's such an interesting one because we know Tom Weaver has a much higher ceiling than Kyle Foxwell, but Kyle Foxwell is the more experienced halfback, being 25 or 28 years old.
You've gone 25 or 28. There's like a 3-year gap there, not like 25, 26.
I can't remember. He was either 25 or 28 when I checked in the preseason, but he was
an older.
He was an older halfback. And so I think someone like Will Brimson can transition back into the centers for the sake of the long-term development of Carter Gordon. I think the club needs to really prioritise what's best for Carter Gordon's development. Now, that, you know, if that is the Jets and it's not Tweed, then so be it. Obviously, we'd rather see Tweed in the finals and succeeding as a reserve grade side. But if he does need to go to the Jets and play alongside a more experienced halfback and Dez thinks that's what's best for his long-term development, or he needs to start in the centres, whichever club makes the most sense and suits his long-term development, I think that's the way we should go with Carter Gordon in reserve grade. And Kyle Foxwell is?
I'm pretty certain he's like 26, 27, in between kind of what you said. So you weren't too far off, but it's not easily accessible here. Like I've Googled it and anyway, point of matter is that he's mid to late 20s, but more so that kind of 26, 27 age.
Exactly right. So let's see how the club does this. And of course, we will keep you updated every week with all the developments around Carter Gordon when he might be making.
Just in case people don't know, this is Carter Gordon here. This is who is behind me on YouTube. So it's not just some rando. It's the future Dally M winner, Carter Gordon.
And for those on YouTube that don't know what's behind me, it's the most beautiful city on earth.
If they don't know what's behind you, I'm sorry, but they can get out of here, mate, because that is our city. If you don't know what's behind Bargy, get out of here.
go back to another podcast. All righty, mate. We won't review Origin games themselves, but we did have quite a few rep players. So let's review their performances. In State of Origin Game 2, the Blues won 38 points to 18. Moeki Fotuaika came from the bench. He had 7 hit-ups for 74 metres, 4 tackle breaks, 1 offload, and 13 tackles for 1 miss. What'd you make of Big Mo's effort in a game where the Maroons were pretty well blown off the park?
Oh, geez. They got blown up in the first half, that's for sure. But, you know, New South Wales couldn't do it in the second half, where Queensland did come out and, you know, did win the second half. So it gives a little bit more confidence than it would have been if they had just whooped us the whole game. But, yeah, all fair dues and credit to New South Wales. They were clearly the better team. They wanted it more. I struggle to see them winning at Suncorp. But I've always said this. I do very much struggle. I'm still super confident for Queensland. But Moe was, you know, solid. He did what he needed to do. There was no real standout performance for Queensland in this game. You couldn't really be a standout performer. I did think that Moe was still very, very solid and did exactly what he needed to do. He's averaging over 10 metres per run, which is always what you kind of look for when it comes down to the front row forwards. You know, if they've got like 7 hit-ups for 40 metres, you're like, ooh, that's not doing well at all. But at least he is hitting that 10 metres per hit-up. Then the multiple tackle breaks and got a few tackles and only the one miss. So, yeah, look, I'm happy with it. Again, it's just it was just really difficult to see anybody really stand up for that Queensland team statistically and also just in any kind of fashion. But I do think he was probably one of the better players. Like, I wouldn't say he had a bad game. I'd say he was one of the better in an awful team at the time.
I agree. It's like when a team gets smoked, the Warriors, they probably had one or two players that played really well when they versed us, but no one's going to mention it because of the result. That's what it was for Mo. But if you just strip it back and look purely at Mo's performance, like we will here, because we're a Titans-focused podcast, I think he was the only forward that genuinely held his own in that Queensland team. He was the only forward. I can promise you he was the only forward that came from the bench and brought anything. And that's with respect to Harry Grant, because by the time all these players were coming on, the Tide was well and truly against the Maroons. And Harry Grant did get a face cut, but he came on and brought no impact. And Felice Kaufusi and Kurt Capewell, respectfully, they looked like they didn't belong out there. Whereas you could not say that about Moeki Fotuaika. Again, but tough circumstances for Mo to be introduced to that game. You know, he came on in game one, mainly in that second half when the Blues had all the momentum. This time he came on a little bit earlier in the first half to try to stem that momentum. But we haven't really seen Mo on the field where he's actually able to produce what he's best at in the rep arena this year. That's just by nature of when he's being brought on by Billy, which is unfortunate.
I also think that obviously Queensland are missing, and I know New South Wales are missing players too, but not so much really in the forwards. But Queensland are missing guys like Tino, Tom Flegler as well. Tommy Gilbert as well, who's massive, massive, massive player. And I think that it was pretty evident in game two that the Blues were just absolutely mauling the forwards there. And like I said, I'd say Moeki was probably one of, if not the only one, who really held his ground there. And I also need to start saying, I know this is a Titans podcast, I need to start saying a little bit more at Harry Grant as well with the expectations we have of him. So, look, still very, very super confident. I don't think we lose by any means in game three. And I expect to see both Dave and Mo on the team lineup.
100%. You know, if you wanted to say, let's carry Dave, but let's play him in the middle, I'm fine with that as well. Because then it opens up Kurt Capewell. So that would be Kaufusi's replacement. And Kurt Capewell could be replaced by Bo Fermor. And I think that's fair on form as well. For Bo Fermor, whilst most people will not look at him as a rep-level player yet from other clubs, we know he's ready, right? We know he can slot into the centre and do a better job than Capewell did. We know he's got more metres and tackle breaks in him than Capewell did. So
I reckon if we had won game two and we'd won both the first two games, I reckon they probably would have gone with Bowie in game three. I think that there would have been an opportunity there because I think it's too much of a pressure cauldron now with game three being a decider. But if we had won game two and had locked the series up, I could have seen Billy debuting him.
Yeah, I think it'd be between him and Hill and Lukey, and probably Brandon Piakura, to be fair, because he was on the extended bench in game one. So Bowie's really close as well. And the final thing I guess I'll say is if Billy Slater did say we're going to start Mo in game one, I reckon he'd hold his own and do a great job for Queensland. I don't think they will, but if they did, I wouldn't feel nervous as a Maroons fan. I've got the trust and the belief in Moe he'd do that job. Alrighty, Women's Origin, mate. The Maroons win 22 points to 6 and wrap up the series. We know there's Blues fans that follow the Titans, so we won't go too deep into our personal feelings. But, mate, after listening to all the yapping from the Blues fans, the Yappanese, man, oh, it was so good to get something back in this game. Here's how our Maroons players went. Shannon Marto, 149 metres and 12 tackles. She was named the official player of the series. Jessica Elliston, she had 124 metres, but she did have the same post-contact metres as Marto, so some tougher carries in there by her, a tackle break and 11 tackles. Our queen, Lauren Brown, 57 metres, two tackle breaks, one line break, 16 tackles. Did miss 10, strangely. That was a bit of a strange stat there for Loz. Usually much stronger defensively than that. But, of course, she kicked 5 from 5 on the goals. If you need a field goal or you need a conversion, I know a woman. It's Lauren Brown. And what did we say in the previous show, mate? If you remember, I actually did say if these three play to their potential, the Maroons will win this game because they've shown that in a grand final. You know, they matched it with the best team in the Knights there, and they've had that big game experience. And you agreed with me. So full credit to the girls, mate. They went out there.
I just want to throw this out here. You've missed a player that was probably the best player in the game.
Oh, Vania Polite.
Yeah, Vania Polite. She was unbelievable this game. You didn't write her down.
No, I forgot to put her stats in there. But, I mean, that first try that she scored absolutely set the tone for the Maroons. You know, because to that point in the series, the Blues dominated the whole 70 minutes of game one and the whole first 60 minutes of game two. So that is an oversight on my behalf there, missing Politi's stats. But, man,
I'll quickly go and get her stats up here because, yeah, she was – and this is the thing that I'm about to really reiterate here is that if you watch this Origin series, I tell you right now, you know that this Titans team is on here because I would honestly go as far to say – that the top three players across the series were all Titans. And I've actually had this confirmed by other fan bases as well, so it's not just like pure bias. We're talking Shannon Marto and Jessica Ellison. We're talking Lauren Brown. We're talking Ivania Politi. And then we haven't even mentioned Jamie Chappo yet, but Ivania Politi, here we go. She was actually the highest like fantasy scorer on the Queensland side of things. Scored a try, ran for 136 metres, had a line break, 63 post-contact metres. She had a massive 6 tackle breaks, which is double the next best on the team, who was Tasman Rapana. Also had 10 tackles with the 3 missed. But outside of that, it's actually quite strange to see that Queensland miss as many tackles as they did because it didn't seem like that way when watching it. But anyway, Ivania Politi, I actually would have nearly said just the way she... I thought she was absolutely incredible in this game, and I would have given her the player of the match in the game on the eye test and also from the stats, but also across the series, just every Titans women's player was phenomenal.
Yeah, I thought Shannon Marto was probably the Maroons' best in game one. She was the best in game two officially. And so game three, I did give it to Ivania as my player of the match, but I knew that Shannon Marto would win the award. And so literally the moment she was announced, I had the post on my page. I'd done the graphic up and was ready just to hit bang because, you know, Marto was an absolute weapon. For our Blues girls, mate, we had Jamie Chapman. We said she would score in the preview. She did, of course, add in 4 tackle breaks, which was the equal most for her side. She also made 4 tackles and missed 0. So nothing can stop El Chapo besides the might of the Maroons. And Talia Fumayona, limited minutes again, only got 16 minutes this time, came on for 8 tackles and 0 miss. So you can't fault her performance, nor can you love it just based on the game time. Overall, though, if you had to say your top 3 performing Titans from this Women's Origin Series in order of 3-2-1 for points, who are you going to give them to?
Well, firstly, just before I do that, I just want to say the only thing that can stop Chapo is the New South Wales Blues because they never go down her side. They literally never, ever, ever go down her side. That's why she doesn't get as much ball. But when she gets the ball, they score. They always hit on the left. I don't understand why they always hit on the left when she was clearly their best attacking threat throughout the entirety of the series. And that's just not even debatable. But my 3-2-1s across the series, I do have to give it to Shannon Marto. She would be getting my 3. She was incredible. 2, I would go with, I think, Lauren Brown. I think she did, I know game one, obviously, she only played limited minutes. When she came on, she did change the game. Then game two, obviously, was a big part about why we won that game. Obviously, kicked the winning field goal. And game three was also great. And then I reckon my next point would go to it's hard because Jess Ellison. Oh, wait, I'm forgetting Chapo as well. Gee whiz, that's really difficult, actually. That is really, really difficult. It's between like Jess Ellison Polite and Chapo. Like, I think I have to go Chapo, but in the same sense, she didn't get enough ball. So I'm not going to go Chapo. I will go with Polite. I will go with Vanya Polite. I think that she was very, very strong throughout all three games.
I agree with you. And I do agree that that last point could go to all three of the women you referenced. So a great Origin series if you're a Maroons fan. But if you are a Blues fan, at least the positive is that literally all of our Titans girls were firing.
It's a great series regardless, because if you're a Titans fan, you should genuinely believe that I would nearly consider us. I know that the favoritism will go to either the Knights or the Roosters, but I would dead set consider us based on that Origin series, based on the fact we made the grand final last season in the women's game. I think we're favourites to win the comp.
Yep, I agree. I haven't checked the odds on that, but I would agree that we are favourites because the Knights are, you know, I'm not sure if they're losing a few players. I know they're losing. They've lost their coach, rather.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we go up a few pegs and the Knights go down a few pegs. And if you think how close that grand final was, I reckon we're a really good chance this year to bring home Would it be the first ever premiership in any professional code to the Gold Coast? I think it would be, right?
Yes, there was like an under 18, 19 Suns thing that they did, which was like technical, like VFL or something like that. But that's not a big grade. So the Suns have done something in the VFL, but that's pretty much it. It would be the first ever premiership across any sport on the Gold Coast at the big time level. But what was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say. So just go on.
Mm. Well, yeah, respect to the Suns reserve grade for doing that, but it would be the same as like Tweed. Winning.
I remember what I was going to say.
The top grand. What was it?
Yeah, exactly right. It would be like if Tweed won. But it's actually probably the exact same. But what I was going to say is that I know we'll do a more in-depth preview into the season, but I think that, and I think we did this last year anyway, we both tipped Titans Roosters grand final. I think this year it will be Titans Roosters grand final unless we play in the semi again.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. I like that prediction a lot. NRLW season, I think it's 3 weeks away now. So let's go next week or the week after. We'll get you a firm date by next episode, but we're going to do a standalone episode and fully commit to that. With respect to our NRL side at the moment and how they're traveling, we don't want to mix up a recap and a preview and just kind of shove the NRLW in the middle. We think our girls absolutely deserve a standalone episode, but we go a little bit more in depth. So we will do that for you. Of course, no game to recap, guys. So we'll move straight into our affiliates recap. No good on the affiliates front again, unfortunately. Tweed go down 58 points to 12 to the Redcliffe Dolphins. And the Jets lose 28 to 22 to Papua New Guinea at home. So good effort there by the Jets. That means Tweed fall to 13th on the ladder. The Jets rise to 14th as the Clydesdales for and against has worsened. How our Tweed players went. We only had Tommy Weaver in this game. He took 12 runs for 70 metres. He had a try assist, a tackle break. He made 12 tackles, but he did miss six. He only kicked 242 metres via the boot, and he did concede a six to go with poor discipline there. Tommy's still not quite at full fitness, is he, Blaze?
Not quite at full fitness. You still want to be seeing, like, obviously he had a pretty poor, I'm surprised he's had a play considering he had a sin bin the other week. Was it a sin bin? Yeah.
It was a sin bin.
Okay, so that'll be fine then. But anyway, look, obviously Tommy's still kind of getting back into it. I do actually find that Tom plays better at NRL level than he does at Host Plus Cup level, which is what we've seen when he came in for that Broncos game and also for the Knights game. You do see him stand up for it. It seems like when he's playing at Host Plus Cup, he just doesn't have necessarily the stats that you want there. But when he does make the move up, if like he's kind of forced into it due to injury, he performs better there. So I don't know. It's a bit of a weird one there with Tommy.
It is a strange one because you look at someone like Keanu Kenny when he goes back for Tweed. I think he went back for a game this year and had like almost 300 metres, three try assists. And we know what Kenny does in the NRL. But yeah, you're right. Tommy, I think because he is still young, he really benefits from having that experience around him. Whereas he at Tweed this year, they're struggling. And in these last two games, he struggled with form. Better news on the front for the Jets, mate. Like, they only lose by 6 points to the Hunters. That's a great effort under any circumstances. Kenny Mamalo, he had 146 metres, two tackle breaks, but did make two errors. Joey Stimson, he played the full 80 minutes at prop. In that effort, he had 177 metres, four tackle breaks, two offloads, and he made 33 tackles, only missing five. And Arama Howe, who was a development player for us, he played at lock. He scored a try. He had 90 metres. He had two line breaks, 7 tackle breaks and 26 tackles for only one miss. So Arama Howe absolutely played the best game we've seen from him this year. Let's say he keeps this up for another 3 or 4 games. Are you tempted to give him a taste of NRL action?
Well, I don't know where you could put him. You know, we've got Dave, we've got Bo in the back row. We have Chrissy Randall and Cleese Haas battling for that 13, because I think that Desi has seen that Chrissy can play that 13 quite well, and Sammy Verrills mm-hmm. plays well as the 80-minute hooker. But then Cleese is obviously going to come back in. I don't think so. I think that it's impossible to bring him in right now, but he is, you know, starting to really warm up to it. I'm sort of close with Rama. I would love to see him come out there. And I think that he, you know, he's putting in every little bit of effort to get in. But I do think that our forwards are way too jam-packed right now to be including anybody fresh, unless obviously, you know, and we'll get into it in the preview, but unless we, you know, our season's done and buried, then, you know, we can give an opportunity as a youngster going into like next year and whatnot. But for the time being, I don't think there is any room because it's just jam-packed.
I agree with you. Like, you even look at our bench at the moment, it's Isaac Liu, Josiah Pahulu, Keenan Palacia, and Joe Stimson. You probably can't justify dropping any of those players. But I think Arama is probably ready to start. We should be start seeing his name on the reserves. You know, like someone like Isaac Fa'asu Malawi or Jacob Arlick-Winke, I wouldn't be opposed
to seeing... Arama has been on the reserves.
Yeah, but he's not this week, sorry, is the point I make. And I think he could be there over someone like Isaac or Jacob just based on his form. Hopefully he backs us up at Ipswich Jets and keeps up this form, but because it's another headache that we'd rather have than not, right? It's as simple as that. Mention the team list there, mate. Let's get to it. The only change this week is AJ Brimson coming in at 6 for Jaden Campbell.
We've finished with, is that host pass cap done? We've moved into the next part.
Yeah, unless you've got more to add, we can go back if you want. No,
we haven't done that. I was just like, you didn't kind of transition it. You just went straight into it.
Yeah.
Guess what, guys? We don't even know who we're playing now, Clarky. We don't know who we're playing. You're right. You got to let us know.
Usually,
let us
know. We do a little bit more on the Host Plus Cup section. That's a good point. I'll type away now and bring up that draw and tell you who we've got this week.
We've confused everyone here. So I was referring to the fact that you didn't transition into like saying, oh, well, guess what? We're playing. Well, now we're playing the Sharks this week at Coffs Harbour and then blah, blah, blah. You kind of just went, and well, here's the team list. And I'm like, what? We're just talking about Arama Howe. What happened here?
All right, rookie move on my half, guys. Let me sign off the Host Plus Cup affiliates wrap properly. Saturday, 6th of July, 5 p.m., our Tweed Seagulls are hosting the Mackay Cutters at Piggabeen. And we go to the Ipswich Jets. They are on the Sunshine Coast against the Falcons at 2:30 p.m. on Sunday. It is Indigenous round in the Queensland Cup as well. So hopefully some cool jerseys on display there. All righty, mate, let's do it now. Let's move into next round and look at our Titans lineup against the Cronulla Sharks this Friday night at Coffs Harbour, 6 p.m. One change. AJ Brimson comes in for Jaden Campbell at 5'8". Would you have been tempted to bring Brimo back at fullback and put Kinney to 6, or are you happy with this decision by Dez?
No way. Yeah, no, I think that's the right move. You know, we do obviously have Chrissy Randall covering the 6 if we did want to actually. And it's not going to happen, but like if we wanted to put Brimo to the centres with JC coming back in a few weeks' time, like it could have happened. And I think that AJ was thinking that at one stage, but obviously Dez has gone elsewhere. But then again, we don't know because JC is injured this week. So we, and I said this to you guys last week, we always say this, we don't always say this because it's not always the case, but we don't know the conundrum fix from Desi yet because Jaden is injured. So it's good that we've got all our players back, but soon we're going to have Jimmy Jolliffe coming back into the mix as well. I think that's round 20. What are we, round 17 now? Around 18?
18.
So I think round 20 was when Jimmy was meant to be coming back or somewhere around then. So we're starting to get his players back anyway, which is good, but also when it comes to this AJ situation, yeah, it's really... really tough as well. No, I think Keanu has to stay in the one. There's no way you could drop him. There's no way you could take him out of that spot with the way that he's been performing. He has been absolutely crushing it, and he is really proving that he is coming leaps and bounds as a player. The confidence, ever since he scored that try against the Knights, it seems like his confidence is just through the roof. So, no, I don't think that, especially with AJ coming off a relatively long injury of 6, 7, 8 weeks or so, I think that it's good that we chuck him into there. If you know, it shit hits the fan, you can push Chrissy Randall there and then move Brimo around, but I don't think that'll be necessary. But no, I think Keanu staying in the one was a must this week. I do know a lot of people out there are criticizing it though, saying that it's disrespectful that AJ is not playing in his rightful spot of one. at the end of the day, AJ just wants to be in the spine. That's just how he wants. He just wants to be in the spine because that's where he gets his hands on the ball. I don't think he cares whether he plays one or he plays six. And at the end of the day, he will play wherever he's told to play. But he does obviously have a preference of the one or the six. So, no, I think we'll fire it up. And if he has a cracker and Keanu also has a cracker, well, JC's just had a cracker. But then he'll come back and be like, well, what do I do now? And what do I do? So, yeah, it's always fun on the Gold Coast with that fullback dilemma.
It is. It's a dilemma. But, again, it's a dilemma you'd rather have than not. On the injury front, we should expect Tony Francis, Cleese Haas, and Harley Smith-Shields back in the next week or two. But Jimmy Joloff has unfortunately been pushed back to round 24. So we won't get the big fella back until a little bit longer, which is unfortunate with that pec injury. When we look at this game, mate, it is a complete mismatch on paper. Like, I know we've got a lot of belief as Titans fans, but the vibe I'm getting from other fan bases is they do not believe in us in this game. They are pretty confident.
Well, those fan bases suck, Argy.
Yeah, well, on paper, it is, they're third and we're third last. So officially, it should be a tough matchup for us. I've still got belief, but unfortunately, we have never won at this venue. The Sharks are undefeated here, going 3-3, and they have won their last 9 in a row over us. How do you break this one down? Can we please snap that cursed 9-game losing streak against the side that you used to go for or your mum goes for only?
Hold on a second. I did not used to go for them.
You never went for the Sharks as a kid?
I was too young to kind of have a specific team. There is three teams that were in the equation. Obviously, the Sharks, because my mum's from Cronulla, my dad, who's a Manly fan, and I was in Brisbane. So the Broncos would have been a shout. So thankfully, the Titans have come in here to prevent me from that absolute shambles of a team. Thank you very much. I do. Thank you. Anyway, I will have to insult the Titans here to give you the benefit to winning this game here on Friday. And that insult is the Tigers game. The Tigers game at Leichhardt Oval. Every single stat went our favour. Every single stat went our favour. It was we hadn't lost the Tigers in 5 years, there was just everything. The amount of stats you could, I can't really think about it now because it was a few weeks ago, but the amount of things that went in our favor. It was everything. Everything was in our favor. It's just like the Sharkies in this one. And the Tigers beat us, and they beat us 8-10. Now, this isn't really to do with us in regards to the next point I'm going to make, but the first point says, well, they did it. We can too. And this isn't a home game of the Sharks. But then again, home games of the Sharks at Shark Park, there's not much atmosphere there anyway. So let's get down to the coughs and drown them out, whether there'll be Sharks fans there or not. The second point I'm going to make is the Sharks are hurting right now. The Sharks are really struggling because they're coming off the back of Nicho Hynes having so much pressure on him. So much pressure on him from Origin being dropped. He's got the world coming for him because he missed a field goal from 15 out, even though the real person to blame was actually Toby Rudolph for that game, who gifted 14 direct points to the Bulldogs in the game on Friday night. This team is really in a bit of a mix-up right now for what they are and who they are. They don't actually have that good of a defense anymore. A few weeks ago, they got flogged 44-0 by the Panthers at home as well, mind you. And yet their attack isn't as lethal as it has been. So you can look at that from two aspects. You can say there's a lot of pressure on Nicho. They've been struggling a little bit. They are falling down a little bit. The people are starting to assume that they are pretenders or have been confirmed that they're pretenders and that they will bounce back from that and that they will bounce back and they will, give us a good touch up to really solidify who they actually are. Or there's the other option of this team's got too much pressure on them and we're coming off the most energetic performance of our history, the 66-6 win against the Warriors. And as Keenan said when we were talking after the game last week, we are an energy-based team. The Gold Coast always has to have energy. We have to have momentum, and this is the perfect one to be coming in off. I hate that we've had the bye. The bye is the real big kind of crux here that says, I hope we haven't lost that energy in this week. But I think that the addition of the fact that we've got Carter coming in and training around the club, we do have really positive vibes around the boys right now. I do think that coming into this game, we're on a high, they're on a low, and we could actually dig the boot in. We could dig the boot in this game. So, stats are against us, but stats are for us and the Tigers, and we lost. So let's go out and win this game.
Mate, I love it. And when I did my preview into this game, it was Monday, and Carter Gordon are not officially signed yet. And I actually think that's a big factor. because the energy that he brought is going to bring for our team. The first time he officially joined our team was that Warriors game. He was there in the sheds before they kind of, you know, toured the home ground and the team went out and, you know, you could feel that excitement and buzz from the kickoff. Now that he's officially joined the team early, a Wallabies player, I really think the team's going to have a lot of belief off the back of that and a lot of energy, as you said as well.
It just shows that we're trying as a club to move forward. It just shows that we're trying to bring this club forward. That's what I believe.
100% agree. Why I was a little bit hesitant at first is I can think of so many examples over our history where we have had a really great win or we've come into a game with the expectation to win and we've really struggled with that expectation. I think look at rounds 1 and 2 this year as a fair example, but there are instances littered throughout our club's history. But that's not to say that that's with this team now, right? And I agree with Ken. This is an energy-based team. We've now got Carter Gordon coming in. We're rested off a bye. We've just come off our biggest ever win. And I really think Des Hasler is the man to continue to drive that standard. And, you know, he'll have a word to these boys. Hey, I don't expect you to win by 60 points every week, but that same effort and energy, that's what I want to see replicated. And the results will come off the back of that. Stats-wise, we have only won 2 games away so far this season. And one of those was at Suncorp, which is just up the road. So near enough to a home game. The other, strangely, in New Zealand. We haven't won in New South Wales yet. So this looms as our opportunity. Sharks are 3 from 3 in Coffs Harbour. It's a bit of a nothing stat for me, right? I think one of those wins is over us. I can't remember who the other two were, but 3 from 3, it's not large enough of a sample size. I'm not too concerned by that. I look at the Sharks' last 2 games where a lot of people are looking at this slide that they're currently on, and I think they haven't been horrible. A few things go different their way, such as you said, Toby Rudolph not giving away so many points. They beat the Doggies. And then the misconversion from the sideline against the Dolphins. Again, if you think go their way, they could have been in both of them. So yeah, I think they've been a touch unlucky.
That first 20 minutes against the Dolphins was awful. Like that first, we should actually really sorry to interrupt you, by the way, but that's the big thing that we should pick apart there is that the Dolphins game, their first 20 minutes, they conceded 24 points and scored nothing, or 22 points and conceded and scored nothing. The Dogs game, in the first 10, 15 minutes, they conceded 12 points immediately to the Dogs, like bang, bang. And it was based on Toby Rudolph individually, both times actually. But with that being said, it seems like the Sharks get off to an incredibly slow start. So we need to pounce on that. But we just need to make sure that we're both all 80 because we have been known over the last few years that we can get out to a lead, but any lead is also chaseable. Even at halftime last week, when we're up 32-0 with the Warriors, 30-0 with the Warriors, our fans are still saying, well, how have we won it yet? Like, we won. Loffy, when he's with his intercept, ended that game in the fans' minds saying, okay, we go on with this now. We did. But I think that, we need to really pinpoint that first 20.
I agree. That's actually my key to victory in this one as well. I think it is the start. Let's get our start right like we did against the Warriors and like the Sharks haven't in their last 2. And that's how we can spring them and get ahead early here. Another factor heading into this, I think, is you look at the Sharks last year and the bulk of their side is the same this year. And they had that reputation for really bullying the lower tier competition and getting those big wins over the Tigers, Dragons, Bulldogs, sides like that. And the bulk of that side's still together. So I think that's a message that needs to come from Des Hasler is these guys are bullies. That they want to treat us like we're bottom opposition. And we've shown in our previous game, we are not bottom opposition. And really fire the boys up and get that belief in them that way. No doubt the Sharks are looking at their current draw, mate, where they've got us, the Tigers, and a bye. And I just think that they could come into that period a little bit complacent and think we've already got 6 points there. We'll beat the Titans, we'll beat the Tigers, we'll take a break with the bye, then we'll get on with our season. And if they do come in complacent and they aren't where they need to be in the first 20 minutes, that's where we can get them blazed. That's where we need to be our best, in my opinion. What were you going to say there, sorry?
The Titans have only conceded 1 try to a left winger since round 5, which is a stat that I saw on the Supercoach Experience today. That's what I was going to bring up. And their winger on that side is Molotalo. And I think that Molotalo is really, really key for the Sharks winning their games because he is there. Like, I know that Sione Katoa has been doing some great stuff, but at the same sense, I think Molotalo has to be having a good game because, I think that we should be peppering the ball down his way because he can make mistakes. I think that Kieran Foran and AJ need to be focusing their kick game and focusing the ball down that direction. That's why I would love JC in this game actually playing the 5-8 with his boot because he can boot it up high and it would be really difficult for a guy like Mortalo. So it's a good stat there that since round five, the Bunner conceded one try down that wing. See, there's a stat for you, mate. You know, you can look at all the stats. You can manipulate stats. You can manipulate stats. So I guarantee you, I can manipulate you a million stats in favor of the Titans this week.
We conceded two tries at the left center position against the Tigers. So that edge isn't perfect, but the wing might be. So that's okay.
Listen here, Mr. Negative Nancy. All right.
I'm just saying to your point, you can manipulate stats.
Your point sucks. All right. Your manipulation sucks. Let's manipulate it in a good way, not a bad way. So I don't recall ever conceding a try down that left wing side. Right. So just shush.
If we can't remember it, it simply didn't happen. It's as simple as that. And final point for me, mate, as well, is I think they will lione a little bit in their early start to sets. Sione Katoa out with concussion symptoms. So that moves Daniel Atkinson to their right wing. And he is more of a 5'8 halfback now. He has played center previously. But, Sione Katoa was a strong starter to their sets and he breaks tackles for them. And he gets that momentum rolling. Without him there, we could also potentially target Daniel Atkinson. But at minimum, they will lose a little bit in their start to set. So my tip is us. I think we will bring all the energy from the last game we played, couple it with the signing of Carter Gordon. And although I was with the Sharks, my tip earlier this week, mate, I'm flipping it. I'm with us. I reckon we can win this game, and I think we will. How do you see it?
I'm tipping us, and I genuinely do believe it. I obviously will beat this game, and it's going to be interesting because they don't have, like, it's actually cost is closer to us than it is to Cronulla. So I really always find it quite interesting that they take their game against us more often than not at two coughs. And I love going there. It's great. We lost last time 18-10 or whatever, but we were there, which was frustrating. We were in it, but we just couldn't get over the line. And this time around, I think that we will. I think that we are an energy-based club, an NO club, based off what Keenan has said. I agree with him 100%. And we need that energy, we need that momentum, and it gives us the solid foundation for what we do. And that's push forward at the back end of the year, which is very frequent that we do it. 2020, we didn't make the finals, but we were, I think it was 15th or 16th. No, we were 15th at like the halfway point of the season mark. And then we finished in 9th. And we absolutely flew home. No, sorry, it was 2020 because it was COVID season. It was short a year. It was meant to be 26 games, but it was only 20 games or whatever. So we unfortunately were a little bit jibs there. That was the Kevin Proctor incident year. We have a real big knack of coming home strong in years. I know last year not so much. I know it's a tough one to kind of sell to Titans fans, but we have been known throughout our entire history. If you are a long fan like us, you know that we do usually have pretty good back ends to the year. So we had a really, really slow start. I'm expecting a full turn around for the back end of the year. Does that mean we make the eight? I'm not necessarily even saying that. I'm just saying that I do think that we change a lot around and we do really push forward into next year with some great momentum. So I will say we win this game. I will go with, you know what? I'm actually going to go bold. I'm going to go bold, Clarky. I'm going to go bold. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get bold, mate. Yeah. And I'm going to get ripped a new one because I put my hands up. I know what I'm getting myself into, guys. I'm saying Titans 13 plus.
I like it.
I'm saying Titans 13 plus, mate.
Look, it's bold, but I like it. Bold.
I'm bold, mate.
Don't bite people and don't vape in the toilets at halftime, kids. Let's, in a reference anyway, to a point, play we might have mentioned in the past.
The point that I'm throwing out here is that I am confident that they are so far down in the dumps and we are well up and just need that buy. I honestly would say I would be confident to actually win 13 plus if we didn't have the buy. I just feel like we're going to go on a run. I feel like we're going to go on a run. We play the bottom of the schools next week and we'll shut up them too, don't you know?
I agree. I had a look then at the Coffs home stadium. We played there in 2021. We lost last to them in 2022. That was 18-10, so a pretty close one.
And they beat the Knights. I got the score right. I did. I said last time we were there, we lost 18-10.
Yeah, and then last year it was the Knights, so it wasn't us. So nothing to take away from there. We are both with our Titans. So let's go out and do it, boys. We're all behind you. Hopefully a great game and a great result for the club. Let's move into the phone, the frontline section, my friend. We've got quite a few here to get through today. We do have a bit more time, so we'll do a few more than usual. Our first one comes from York, and it is 17 seconds long.
Hey, Clark and BKR. You got AJ Benson back. What is what is the impact that he's done for you? Like, he's been like the real impact. What can you expect to see from him in the Sharks game?
Oh, for me, I don't think AJ has to prove anything to anyone. Like, he is our 5'8", he's our fullback, he's whatever he wants to be. He's a real impact player, like you said, York. But I just think Brimson is a footy player. And if he played very well, what will be interesting is, does Billy consider him for the 14 role in Origin? Does he consider Kalen Ponga if he plays well for the Knights? So Brimo will come out and rip in like he always does, mate. You don't have to worry about that. Love Brimo. Love everything he brings to our side. And I honestly can't say enough good things about him. He's my favourite player for a reason. What are your thoughts on that one, Blaze?
I think that Brimo is going to come out and just whoop and tear this Sharkies apart. I think that he's going to come out with a point to prove that he needs to be. And that's the good thing about this competition right now with JC, him and Keanu, is that each one of them has to perform each and every single week. They have to. They cannot fail, because if they fail, they will be moved outside of the spine, or they will be moved onto the bench, or there might not be room for them. So they have to perform each and every week. So I do think that AJ will come in, super content after, coming into his father's life. Hopefully he's not too tired, though, because obviously becoming a father does make you quite tired. So, I don't think that AJ will lose a step. I think he comes in there, he tears up, and I think we've got some good momentum. So I'm looking forward to beating the Sharks.
I think AJ looks sexy in our thumbnail riding that shark, to be honest. Thank you very much, ChatGPT, for generating that one.
That was an elite thumbnail.
I put into ChatGPT, generate an image of a Titans NRL player riding a dolphin. It had some random guy, so I cropped his face out. Slap AJ's on there. Slap on the daddy. And Bob Drunkle. We love it. This next one comes from
I just realized as well, I'm happy I tipped 13 plus because of that Sharks fan last week that came onto our podcast sending in a speak pipe. You know what, mate? We slab you. You've got you. I can't say cut the fins off because Peter will get to me, but you can cut the fins off. Move on.
This next one's from Joe. It's 14 seconds long.
Okay, your team is absolute as much as I love Goldie, but Khan Pereira has made me that much money on Sportsbet. I am actually frothing every time I see him take the field.
Congratulations,
mate. I bet you love the Gold Coast, mate. Surfers Paradise on a night out is usually where you probably go.
Alrighty. we have edited out Blazer's response to that question. What he said was, he's so happy you win money and a Lofiana Khan Pereira. And he said, you sound like a top gentleman. Please come down to the front line for a beer, is what he said. This next one's from Billy
Mack. We'll catch you at Melba's at Surfers Paradise, mate. Don't worry.
Alrighty, Billy Mack, take it away, my friend.
Hey, fellas. What a bloody win, eh? Righto, Brimo back in 5'8". I feel like my only concern from the sample size that we had at Brimo playing 5'8" earlier on in the year is he tends to not run the ball as much.
Yeah. Okay.
Which, like, I get it. He's just trying to keep to the shape and whatever. But I think that's where Campbell's been killing it. Is he's keeping the defense guessing all the time because he does like to run the ball, but then he also can ball play. So what do you reckon? How do we think he's going to come back into 5'8 this week? Because I want him to run the ball a hell of a lot more if he's playing 5'8".
Yeah, I mean, it can't hurt to run the ball, right? But then having Brimson's passing game is also elite for us as well. So I don't have too many concerns there. I still think with centers like BK, Philip Sami, we know our wingers are both electric speedsters there. And then, of course, Keanu Kinney adds plenty of strike at the back as well. So I'm not concerned. I just hope Brimo plays his job for the team, and I know he will. So that's my response to that one. Blaze, how do you feel?
Yeah, I wouldn't even say we have a small sample size on Brimo in the 5/8 anymore. Like, he played a little bit alongside Toby Sexton back in 2022. That was the spine that they were trying to go with there. With JC 1, Toby 7, AJ 6, and Aaron Clark was the 9 at the time. And then 2023, whenever Forum was out and whatnot, we'd see AJ Brimo coming in at times. And then, you know, this year as well, he did come in halfway through that Cowboys game. And unfortunately kind of did make a mistake there, but was also really, really good when he came in as that 5/8 halfway through the Cowboys game up there in North Queensland. Look, I think that he has a lot more to take on. So when he's a fullback, of course, he's going to run the ball more because that's more of his job, is to get the ball to back and then run as hard as he can and find those gaps in behind. When you're a 5/8, he's going to have his kicking game, which is grubbers or little dinks over the top. Or, and he's one of the best grubber try assists in the game, like across the entirety of the competition. He loves a good grubber try assist. There's just so much more that he has to think about. So I don't think you necessarily need to see him run as much as you probably think you do, because as Dane said, you know, we've got Keanu who can do plenty of running. We do have, you know, Lofty and Jojo. Actually, who was our other winger? We've got Lofty and, is it Jojo this week? Or who was the other? Yeah, yeah, Jojo. And then Phil and BK in the centres. And then we've got plenty of running out of Dave Fafita and Bowie Firma as well. And I think that Brimo obviously can inject himself when he needs to, for sure. But with that being said, I do really just like him, you know, moving that ball around and creating that real spark out of nothing rather than just constantly running, 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 running. So I think it's a good mixture of what we get from Brimo in the six. And we'll see how it goes on Friday. Because, again, I don't know if this is Desi's ultimate plan to have Brimo in the six. We don't know until JC comes back. So it's going to be interesting. But I think Brimo will have a great game at the six on the weekend.
I agree. One thing we know for certain, that is that Alexander James Brimson is an absolute gun. Wonder why he went for the name AJ instead of Alex. So a lot of people that are Alexander go for Alex short. I'd love to ask him one day why.
It used to be named Alexander Brimson on like the NRL.com on the team list.
Yeah, and they fully just changed it to AJ. It's like Jason Tomalolo. His name's Vire, but no one knows him as Vire at all. No one would know that AJ's name is actually Alexander anymore.
Yeah, but that makes sense, though, because that's like Tongan. So that's like that's his islander name. Then he's got his, I guess, English kind of white person name, right? And that's what a lot of cultures have. Well, it's, like,
yeah,
like,
I know.
Culture has a lot. Chinese culture has a... Well, what it is. Oh, sorry, I've just come back.
I agree with you.
So like, there is. You know, I thought you were calling it, like, you were saying something dodgy. I'm like, hey, well, hey, no. Not me, buddy. No.
Whoa.
Move on. Let's move on here.
Brody Townshend.
Hey, boys. I was wondering if the Titans had unlimited salary cap and could sign whoever they wanted to, who would be your dream signing to sign for the Titans? I'm really proud of this community and I love getting to watch your show every week.
Fire up, mate.
I love it. What a legend. Big shout out, Brody Townshend. We absolutely appreciate that, mate. That is a legendary, one of the nicest ones we've ever had sent in. My dream signing. It would have been Payne Haas.
Don't go obvious. Okay, that's not too obvious. Here, go on.
No, yeah. You know who I would say if not. Mm. It was actually Payne Haas a few years ago, just because I would have loved to have seen him link up with his bro. And imagine a front row of Payne Haas and Tino, and then you have Jamin and Moeki off the bench. It's literally unstoppable. I'll say Payne Haas. I'll stick with
cap.
It.
Our entire salary cap is on front row forwards at that point.
Yeah. I'll go Payne Haas for my safer option. And then if I could pick someone, anyone, I'd love to see. I'm with the Wallabies team right now, and I've got two players in mind. Rob Valentini, I just think he's such a skillful footy player. I'd love to see him at lock. Fiji and center for the Wallabies. Samu Karevi, that's his name. He is a freak, man. He's 110 kilos and he runs like he's Loffy. I'd love to see him in the centres for us as well. They're my picks, mate. A couple of fun ones. Who are you going to go?
I think that someone, it's hard, right? Because I don't know if he would adjust from the Sydney to Gold Coast lifestyle. But someone that I think has been a massive, I don't know what that was. Someone who I think has been a massive signing this year is Stephen Crichton. I think Stephen Crichton has done an amazing job there at the Bulldogs. I think he's been a real big leader. And I think that he has really adjusted a lot of their culture and adjusted the way that their team has gone from sucking to winning. And they are, although they're not the finished product by any means, they've gone from having the worst defense in the comp last year to being the second best defense in the comp this year. And that's a problem that we've always had is our defense. Our attack, we've always been able to score, but defensively, we've always conceded a whole heap of points. So I would go, everyone knows the obvious answer is Nathan Cleary. Like, everyone knows that that is the answer that everyone would go with. So I'm trying to, that's why I told him, like, don't go the obvious one. But yeah, if I went a little bit askew that I don't think many people would actually think about would be Stephen Crichton. And we've never had, like, our centers are great right now, but we've never had pinpoint centers. And I just think that Stephen Crichton would do so much in that category. If you want me to go for a halfback, then it's obviously going to be Nathan. But I don't, and I said this a few weeks ago on my streams, Mitchell Moses is only disliked because he's at Parramatta. I think that Mitchell Moses is actually a really, really underrated player. This is before Origin Game 2. And now everyone is obviously jumping all over him, which is great. But Mitchell Moses is a good player that you could possibly, you know, you'd want to sign as well. Because I think our 5-8 part, we've got plenty of those moments. And then if you want me to look towards like a, geez, what else could we go? See, our forwards are too good. Our forwards are just too good. Go on.
And no one will think of this because he's not really a superstar anymore this year. Siho Sifo-Talakai. Just remember how many times last year he would set up Ronaldo Mulitalo outside him. Our left winger is Alofiana Khan Pereira. If he gets in clear space, it's a try. And there were so many times where Talakai would literally just, like, he'd bump the winger. Bump his center. The winger would come in and he'd just quick offload. And Mulitalo would go for a try. Now, if he's getting that offload to Lofi, we're going every single time. That's an interesting one to consider as well.
You know what? I'll give you another one. Appy Saikotomisau, just because of his intelligence. I do love Sammy Verrills and Chris Randall, but I do think that Appy Saikotomisau, that's a huge one as well. If I was to rank like 3-2-1, 1-2-3, I would say 1 would be Stephen Crichton, 2 would be Appy Saikotomisau, and then I'll agree with you. See Sifo Talakai number 3 because Nathan Cleary is obviously one that we don't need to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. We could say the obvious or we could have some fun with it. I love your call of Crichton there. I think that'd be huge. And I'd also be very happy if we signed Coruscant as well.
I'll give you one other. Carter Gordon. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable signing. I really hope we can secure his services this year. This next one comes from Maxi, and it is 1:30. Strap in. Let's play it now.
Yep. 66-6, what a win. And then a way to have it off the bye. You know, I'm just wondering, hopefully we don't slump like we did last time on the bye.
Why are we talking about this?
It does make it hard on Desi if, what's his name, Brimson plays well this week, you know, because then he's really got to make up his mind. I still think he'll stick with Campbell. And what you boys were saying of that Brimson's too good to be a 14, some of the greatest players of all time, you know, they needed to play 14 before they could have that breakout season. And that's what Brimson was having his breakout season this year until he got injured. So I reckon have him at 14 for the rest of the season, figure it out on the off season while you have, you know, you get all the new players in. I just think that works out the best. But yeah, I don't know. I think you guys talk about Brimson being rep level. Look, I love Brimson. I just don't know if he's still a rep player at the moment, just because when was the last time he played Origin? 2 years ago?
Last year.
It's pretty
soon. Last year, came through.
I don't know. I think to stick to him at 14, leave Campbell at 6, Kinney at 1, or put him in the centres for now, because I don't know what we're doing with Sammy in the centres, but we'll see how he goes. And one question, what do you think about the expansion? Who should be the 17th and 18th team?
A lot to unpack there. I think AJ played it was last year, game 3, game right? 3. Yeah, because Walsh was suspended for being very nice to the referee when we beat the Broncos, actually. It was
We beat the Broncos. Yeah.
So I remember at Suncorp, unlucky there, Bronx fans. I think Brimo still is rep level. I think if he'd been fullback the whole season, then it wouldn't be a debate. But that's my opinion, and you're entitled to yours, Maxi. So, I'm not going to push back too hard. But I still think, Brimo's still a rep-level player for us. And if he was selected tomorrow at 14 for the Maroons, as you spoke about there and there, I wouldn't feel bad about it at all. On the expansion front, my preference in order is Perth, 17. 18, sorry, 19, another New Zealand team, and then 20 Papua New Guinea. For the reasons, Blaze, I think Perth makes the most sense because it unlocks another time slot where they can, you know, they always use the New Zealand game for the 3 p.m. Saturday, or they like to, right? So it appeals to both audiences. You get that with Perth again. Second New Zealand team. I know their first one hasn't had raging success, but it is a key part of Australia. Yeah, well, they didn't have it 2 weeks ago. I can take that for free. No, but they are a huge part of this part of the world geographically, you know, with the Anzac Heroes and stuff like that. So I think a second side there makes a lot of sense, maybe on the South Island. And then Papua New Guinea is only my last option because I feel they need to develop their internal pathways a little bit more, because if they were to have injuries to their NRL signed players with respect to their current Host Plus Cup PNG Hunters team, it probably wouldn't suffice at an NRL level, in my humble opinion. Over to you, mate. Thoughts on Brimo's form and expansion?
Yeah, with all due respect to your opinion, Maxi, because again, we love you, and you're entitled to your opinion, I would never put AJ Brimson into the 14. He is way too talented to be on the bench. He has to be on the field. If he can't be in the 1 or the 6, then he has to be in the centres, or he has to be as a lock or a hooker, anywhere. I don't mind. He has to be on the field. He is too good of a talent, and he is here till 2030. We've all got to remember that AJ Brimson is the longest signed player outside of Tino. Right, so he is here till 2030. Tino has his contract until what, 2033, I think it is, his 10-year contract. So AJ is the second longest 10-year contract at the moment. So we are 100% going to be playing him. There is no doubt about that. He is going to be in the 13. And obviously, Desi knows what he wants to do with him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have signed it for 6 years, whatever it was, right? And we love AJ, and he's going to absolutely crush it. So, no, I personally don't see a world at any stage that he is a 14. I don't think he needs to have a breakout season, because I think that he's already broken out as a player. I think everyone kind of knows AJ Brimson is an electric talent. And it's more down to Keanu and JC prove themselves. It's way more down to JC and Keanu prove themselves than it is to AJ. AJ has proven himself. I would disagree there. I think that if anyone needs to go to the 14, it would be either JC or Keanu, because they're the ones that are still having to prove themselves. But again, I do think that AJ will be in the 13 at some point. In regards to the expansion, my top three, if I'm talking preferential, like who I want to be in it, then I'm saying second New Zealand team in Christchurch. I'm saying Perth 2, and then I would agree with you with Papua New Guinea 3. If I'm thinking what's going to happen, I would say Perth is probably going to happen, and then it's more than likely going to be Papua New Guinea, because I do think that there is a lot of political things involved there that they want to really be able to access, which is not necessarily rugby league, but they wouldn't base it out of Port Moresby. They'd base out of Cairns. And then I do think I think that all these three teams, the only teams that could also... I hate the Bears more than the Broncos. I've always labelled this because of what they did to us in the mid-2010s, trying to steal our licence. I will never forgive the Bears for that, and I hate them more than the Broncos. So I hope that that team continues to rot outside of rugby league. But I think that there is an option for a Western Coral or Brisbane team that has been spoken about. And I think that's really about it, because Adelaide's not going to get a team. I know they're trying to get an AFL team in Darwin, which is a good ploy for them, because we should have really tried to get it in there first. But the priority for us realistically is Perth, Papua New Guinea and Christchurch.
I think once you get to 20 teams as well, you could do like a 21 round season where every side just plays one side once.
I think that's
the plan. Every side gets two buys, I think you'd get in that. And that would make sense, because the draw right now is very unfair. And I know that it's randomly generated, but as a Titans fan, I feel like we haven't had the easiest draw for a number of years now.
Every year we've had tough draws, because every year we haven't been great, let's be honest.
Yeah, but you look at the Sharks, mate. Like the last two years has been a joke. And I feel like if we had their draw, we would... I don't know. I can't say we'd be locks for finals, but I'd be so confident that we could get it done, given how many times they seem to verse the bottom eight or bottom four sides two times.
Mate, our back end of this year is tough. We have a really tough... Outside of this little stretch here, Sharks, Eels and Manly, we have, like, the Roosters, we've got the Panthers, Luckily, we don't have a Melbourne trip this year. Knights away, which is always a bogey stadium for us. Not a bogey team, but a bogey stadium. You know, we've got Dragons out at Wollongong. They're a gritty team, and they've already beaten us so far this year. So besides this last little and we'll play the Sharks again at Seabus, by the way, before the end of the year. So we'll play Coffs now, but in a couple of weeks' time, we're playing again at Seabus. So we have a really, really rough stretch towards the back end. Really not looking forward to that Roosters game round 25, because I know that Roosters fans aren't happy with us after the David Fafita backflip and the fact that we won't allow their drums into the stadium, and it will never happen. We're never going to allow you to bring your drums in. I know you're watching. You're never getting your drums in. You're never getting your drums in. But anyway, the point of matter is that we're going to fire up, we're going to win the comp, and it's just as simple as that.
Love it. One more. This one says, this guy... Also, what other song slash chance could the Titans snag? So I'm not sure what to expect here.
I was thinking the Titans need a song like the soccer teams over in England and stuff. So I was thinking the song Daddy Cool, but then switch it over for the Titans. Be like, let's go Titans. Go Ghost Titans. Let's go Titans. Go Ghost Titans. My man, you boys are the best. Talk to him.
Stop it. Let's sign this guy to the front line on a 10-year deal. Let's get him extended longer than Brimo. Mate, let's get him as a chief morale officer.
I'm over here. My BKR cancelled because I'm not good enough. We've got this fella over here, great bloke, who's taking my job. You know, fair enough, really, as well. On a serious note, though, I will say that something that, and you guys can take my word for it, because I am very experienced in this kind of side of things with how long I've been doing it for with the front line, is that I've always wanted to bring across, I'm a big football fan. I was actually a football fan of the Premier League before I was a Titans fan, because the Titans didn't even exist when I was a football fan of the Premier League. And it's actually impossible. The only team that tries to create English-style chants is Melbourne. And they've got a really big Greek audience and Italian and whatnot who do love their football, right? But it's actually impossible because the two ways of the style of game is so different. Football is elongated, long passing plays. There's not goals all the time. It's very, very... Sometimes you'll get games with no goals. Sometimes you'll get games with four goals, five goals, eight goals. But it's all very elongated. So you have those real long periods where you can do those chants and all these different kind of things, which are really, really cool, and the atmosphere is really vibrant. With NRL, it's very stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. So you'll get one set. You can't really chant through your set to their set. Like, it's kind of more like an attacking chant and then a defensive chant. And then if you do a defensive chant, then it kind of helps your away fans who are then going to use your drums or use your chant to then dwarf you and use it for their own stuff kind of deal. So I would love to bring English kind of football chants too, but I just don't agree with the fact that the game, and then when there's a knock on and everyone just like stops and then it ruins the whole chant, it's just our game is very, very different. So that's my personal take on it, but I would love to do it.
I'm a big soccer fan as well, mate. I've been watching Wayne Rooney screamers since you were in your nappies at home. Don't
you
talk
shut
to me.
Your dirty mouth. What on earth just happened there? Hey, you know why I would hate that more than anything that you've brought up with that man of all people.
I actually don't. I've got no clue about soccer. I remember Blake was telling us at the function after the
Tigers
what game was it? After the Tigers game, and I said, "How's Drogba going?" or something. And I think he said he's been retired.
I think he's been retired for like 10 years. Yeah.
Like, so I stuffed that pretty bad there. But anyway, you live and you learn. Alrighty, guys, huge show there. Thank you so much for being with us. We look forward to seeing you again next week when we recap that Sharks game and preview the Eels game. We'll bring you all the latest news and everything like we did today, as well as how our players went in reserve grade. So thank you very much for being here with us on this podcast. And I will send it over to you, Blaze, for the final word.
You know it's coming soon, son. But guys, hit that thumbs up button, subscribe, get around it. I'll be there on Friday. So if you guys are driving down, it's like about a three-hour drive. So I'll probably be there from about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock or so. Hopefully meet you guys all down there. We'll probably sit behind the posts. It's all basically GA on the hill there. Clark is not passionate enough to come to a game, away game. So I'll just have to be there with the front line. You know, Jenko is a bit lazy as well. But we'll see if he turns up. But overall, no, it will be a really, really good game to be at. And hopefully we can keep this momentum up. That's all we need to see. We just need to see this momentum. Do it again. Not 66-6, but just do it again and win the game again. Keep us fired up, and we will roll. I'm telling you, we will roll through the back end of this year if we win this game. I think this game is so crucial, so damn well crucial, not just because it's a regular game that we need to win, but because it really defines where we go from here towards the back end of the year. So, like I said, slap it down. Let's rock and roll, and let's sing it up, baby. Let's sing it up. Let's sing it up, Clarky. Sing. Oh, what's he doing? What's he doing? We're going to get copyrighted. What are you doing? Turn this off.
It's Rooney. Rooney sees roll out. Oh, it's in the net.
Get this off the screen. We're going to get copyrighted, you idiots. Remove that. They're gonna ban the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast. They're going to have us banned now, mate. He just put up a Wayne Rooney goal, FYI, guys. He's just put up a Wayne Rooney goal. You're muted. You're muted. He's all over the show.
Zing.